morning.
Last month, we started looking at the book of Daniel. We've really focused on these first six chapters that kind of take the narrative of Daniel and some of his friends as they're living in exile. First with the Babylonian Empire, and this week we'll see with the Medo-Persian Empire. And so go ahead and open up. We'll be in Daniel chapter 6 this morning as we wrap up our series in the book of Daniel. And next week is exciting. We're going to start our Advent series called Promise. So please be here for that, and I encourage you. It's going to be a great time just looking and anticipation for the coming of Christmas. And what we celebrate in the coming of our Savior and Lord Jesus. All right. So Daniel chapter six. All throughout this book, we've been seeing the fact that God is sovereign. He's sovereign over history. He's sovereign over empires. Sovereign is just a fancy word that means in control. All right. God is in control over history. He's in control over empires. We've seen and we'll continue to see today that God sets up and he removes kings and kingdoms as he pleases. He sets up and he removes them as he pleases. He's sovereign over kings. He's sovereign over kingdoms. And also, something we saw last week at the very tail end and something we'll see as well that we've seen throughout the book is the fact that all kingdoms will come to an end. Every kingdom. We saw last week the Babylonian Empire fall. We saw in previous weeks the fact that Judah and Jerusalem fell. The Medo-Persian Empire will fall. All kingdoms will come to an end except one, and that's the kingdom of God. Every other kingdom at some point in time will pass away. When I was the year before coming here to serve as pastor, I was a teacher at Whitfield Academy for 1 year. I was taught juniors and seniors, U.S. history, and political science and economics. And relied heavily on the David Nasser DVDs Dave Ramsey DVDs. That we had for the economics part. So thankful for those. But anyway, that was supposed to be funny. Okay, so anyway, so I was just trying to say I don't know too much about economics. All right. Anyway, God's, I was at Whitfield Academy as a private Christian school. I was connected to the church that Amy and I were part of. Amy actually was taught there for many years, 4 or 5 years. In the elementary, different classes there. But I got to teach 1 year there. And I remember, one of the great things I remember was they had a chapel every week. I grew up, I went to a public school, and so it was just a different kind of environment to kind of see high school in this light. We had a chapel every, and then one of the things we were encouraged to do as teachers was to pray. To pray in class, every class, and so oftentimes I would pray. Sometimes I'd ask different students to pray or volunteer for them to pray, and it was always amazing to me that no matter what was going on or what was happening, if a student was praying in their prayer, there was always prayer for safety. Pray for safety for maybe a team that was traveling, or an athletic team, or pray for safety for us today as we're in school, or pray for safety this or that. It didn't matter what else was in the prayer, whatever thing was going on today. At some point in time during their prayer, they always prayed for safety. I found that just reoccurring over and over and over again. It made me think at that time, and I still think about it, the fact that this question is God's ultimate desire for our lives as followers of Him to be safe. Can I get another amen? I'm teaching her early in our home. But think about it, because this is often, especially in our Americanized kind of Christianity, this is often a component that we think that it's God's ultimate desire for us as believers to be safe. And I don't think we see that in God's Word. This morning in chapter 6, we're going to see that I believe God's ultimate plan for our lives is to put us in situations in which He will receive the most glory, regardless of how safe the situation is or is not. That God's ultimate plan for our lives, if we've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone for our salvation, that God's ultimate plan for our lives is to put us in different situations that will bring Him the most glory, regardless of whether the situation is safe or not. So, let's look. Daniel chapter 6. And as we've done this whole series, we'll just read a few verses and comment and go forward. Daniel chapter 6, let's look at verses 1 through 3. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three presidents, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give an account, so the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other presidents and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. And so remember, last week the Babylonian Empire fell. You have King Darius now of the Medo-Persian Empire. And the Medo-Persian Empire is now the most dominant empire on the scene at this time. And it was prophesied, remember Daniel prophesied to King Nebuchadnezzar and then again to King Belshazzar that this was going to happen, that their kingdom would fall. Because God is sovereign over history and over empires, and He lifts up kings and lifts up kingdoms as He pleases and puts them back down as He pleases. Darius is king of the Medo-Persian Empire because right now God has lifted him to be in that place. God has also put Daniel in a high position. We see there that Daniel's one of these three presidents that... So Darius has kind of set up these different 120 satraps, and one of their main jobs is probably just watching over the collection of taxes and bringing the money in. And then over them were these three presidents, probably broken up into different provinces throughout the empire, Daniel, of whom was one of them. And we notice that Daniel became distinguished even over these other presidents, over all the satraps, and Darius had a fond viewing of Daniel. He felt confident in him. God had placed Daniel in a high position within the empire to bring God glory. We've seen that throughout Daniel's life, but we'll see it again today. And God had entrusted much to Daniel, and so he expected much as well. So he's in this high place, he's in this high position, so let's see what the other presidents and satraps think about this. Verse 4. Then the presidents and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. So why did they want this? Well, a couple of things. Either, once again, there's some jealousy to the fact that this exile is a president in the kingdom of Persia. The fact that there's this exile who has risen to this kind of prominence within the kingdom, and that the king finds favor with him and not necessarily the others. Or maybe it's because Daniel is so upright and no fault could be found in him that they weren't able to cheat as much as they may have wanted to make some money and not send all of the taxes all the way to the king, keep some there with them. Whatever the case, they rose to try to find a complaint. They couldn't find any. Verse 5, then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Can the same be said about you or I? The fact that the only accusation that could be made against Daniel was how loyal he was to God. So much so that they're going to even have to, we'll see here in a minute, they're going to have to go approach the king and try to create a whole new law, knowing what Daniel's response to the law is going to be, in order to find complaint against him. Could someone on the outside look into your life and the only complaint they could find against you is the fact that you are loyal and faithful to God? It's high praise for Daniel's faithfulness. So, what do they do? Verse 6. Then these presidents and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors, the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions." Whereas they're saying, listen, make a law. It says, if anybody worships any other king or any other god or anybody else except for you, then they be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. I mean, it sounds like a good idea, right? For someone who is not a follower of the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. For someone who probably in that time thought of himself as a god himself. Yes, 30 days of everyone worshiping me and only me. I'll put my name on that line. And notice as well that what we see here is a foreshadow of some degree. That as these presidents are kind of coming together and assembling to bring complaint against Daniel, don't you kind of hear Psalm 2 in the background when the nations are coming together against the Lord's anointed? The Lord's anointed here, Daniel, but ultimately the Lord's anointed Jesus, the Christ. There would be a time and a day where there would be nations that would come together assembling against Jesus to put him to death. Daniel's faithful obedience that we're going to continue to see in this chapter is only greater seen in Jesus' faithfulness and his faithful obedience to God the Father, which led him to death on a cross for our sins. And because of that faithful obedience, sinners are able to have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so Daniel's faithfulness is just a microcosm of what we are going to see in Jesus' life and his faithfulness to his Father. So what does Daniel do? This new law, this new injunction has been signed. Verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God
as he had done previously.
Notice, verse 10 says, once he knew the document had been signed, he didn't go and try to find a safe place. Or he didn't try to only do safe things. Instead, he went and he was faithful and continued to pray to God and not to Darius.
Safety was not something on his mind. If so, he would have shut the windows or pulled down the curtains. But here, the author is very intent to let you know that the house had windows in the upper chamber. And this is faithfulness that just didn't start happening at this point. You know, many times we often treat God as a spare tire. Right? That when we need Him, we'll pull Him out. But notice here that verse 10, it says that he got down on his knee three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Before this law ever came into about, before this injunction was there, he was already being faithful. He was already praying. He was already giving thanks to God. He had already been doing this. And so when the injunction came, it was just another day. Let us live our lives in such a way that we're already practicing and already honing and already sharpening ourselves through the spiritual disciplines of prayer and Bible reading and fasting and other things, that when situations come up in our life, that it's just another day. This was just continued faithfulness. This, even though they're about to accuse Daniel, and they'd probably seen him. He'd done this previously. They'd probably watched him and seen him do this. And so that this is how we're going to get him. This is how we're going. This is the thing we need to bring to King Darius. Because he's going to continue to pray to his God. So let's bring this to King Darius. So, verse 11. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?
The king had answered and said, the thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said, before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. O king, didn't you just sign something that said that nobody could be praying to any other god or any other king except for you? Well, guess what? That Daniel, that exile, no, it's not Daniel, the other president, one of our other presidents, but Daniel, that exile, him, he's disobeying. So basically, what are you going to do about it? Verse 14, notice the king's reaction. The king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Remember, Darius had found and saw Daniel to be faithful and was obedient. Probably helped prosper the kingdom. He sees this and he doesn't want to just throw Daniel in there. He's trying to think of something that he can do. And then verse 15, then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. It's not that King Darius couldn't
necessarily make a decree to do whatever he wanted. He was king. But it had been precedent set, and not as much that, as much as it would look bad on the king to go back on an injunction that he had already made. And so, reluctantly, verse 16, then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and then cast into the den of lions. But notice the king, what he declares. He says, the king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. Notice Darius' response. He wasn't praying to necessarily the gods of the Medo-Persians. He wasn't necessarily praying to or any power within himself. But he noticed something in Daniel. Because of Daniel's faithfulness, God's already receiving glory already, because Darius realized that it's only Daniel's God that's going to be able to save him from this. And they wanted to make sure that he was not getting out. Verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of the Lord, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace, and he spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Imagine this, the king and his luxury and all of his palace. And what we're going to see is Daniel had a much better and more comfortable night than the king did, because Daniel trusted in God. The king's worried and upset, can't sleep, and is fasting and it's likely making petition for Daniel's God. And then right when day breaks, verse 19, the king arose and he went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried in a tone of anguish. The king declared, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king. I have done no harm. The king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions. This was a common practice. If you accused someone of something and was found out that they did not do it, then whatever punishment they got, you then got. And so because Daniel was found blameless, because the lions did not eat him, because God had sent an angel to close their mouths, they were brought, and them, their children, and their wives were thrown into the lion's den. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. So, notice, because of Daniel's faithfulness, watch King Darius here. Verse 25. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, the nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear the God of Daniel. The people are to fear and tremble the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He worked signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. And we also get a little footnote here. Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and then also the reign of Cyrus. And Cyrus would be the one who would eventually send the exiles back to Jerusalem. Daniel did not know, just as we talked much like Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not know what was going to happen when they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Daniel did not know what would happen when he was thrown into the lion's den. But he was faithful regardless. He didn't wait for a safe situation to be faithful. He was faithful even in non-safe times and non-safe situations. See, because God's ultimate plan is ultimately to bring himself glory. Because he so deserves it. And he'll put us as followers of Christ in situations to bring himself glory. Sometimes those situations may be safe and sometimes they may be not. So, a couple of takeaways. First off, don't assume that a hard, non-easy life means that you are not right where God wants you to be for his glory. Unless, of course, you're in that because of choices and things you've made. But if you've been faithful and you've been loyal to God and his purpose, don't assume that because things may be hard or not easy, don't assume that you're not exactly right where God has you. And in the reverse, if you're living a safe and easy life, you may not be right in the center of what God's will is for your life. I mean, we've looked at Daniel, we've looked at his friends the last month, but you look through the totality of God's word and we see that followers of Christ normally don't live safe, easy lives. It's actually quite the opposite. So, some more takeaways as we think of the whole, as we close out Daniel, as we think about the whole book, how we've seen that God's sovereign over history and empires. He raises people, he lowers people. And I'll talk about in light of this, what happened this week. Many, if not all of us, were surprised Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, with election results. For some of us, it may have been a pleasant surprise. For some of us, it may have been a horrific surprise. So let me speak to both groups this morning. First off, if it was a pleasant surprise, no matter how well President-elect Trump does, he cannot fix all the woes of our country. He is not the Messiah. There's only one. His name is Jesus. And it is not President-elect Trump's job to be the light to the nations, it's the churches. And so, let us make sure that we are not putting our hope into the wrong things. No matter who is president, or no matter what nation is on top in this world, Jesus' kingdom is the only one that will live forever. If it was a horrific surprise for you, there's something to remember, that the ultimate reason that Trump is the next president is that God has raised him up for this time. We've seen that throughout Daniel. He raised up Nebuchadnezzar to conquer his own people. He raised up Belshazzar. He raised up Darius. He raised up Cyrus. Now, with that said, if Secretary Clinton was the president-elect, I could say the exact same thing about her this morning. Now, even if a Trump presidency means the fall of the United States of America, Here's the thing. Our hope is not tied to this nation, but rather the church and God's kingdom. And so whether it doesn't, we are obviously commanded to participate and to try to help the welfare of whatever country that God has placed you in, and to pray for elected leaders and to do your best. But ultimately, even if that means the fall of different countries or different that means even the fall of the United States as we think of it today, it's not the end. Notice Daniel and the other exiles did not, they were taken into exile by Babylon. And yet, and they worked to help further the kingdom, even though they were exiles. And we have to remember, for those of us who put our faith and trust in Christ, we are but exiles here. And we are awaiting our heavenly home. And so wherever this week may have found you, remember that the only hope we truly have is in Christ and in Him alone. And so if you don't know that hope, I invite you this morning. Here in a moment, we're going to sing a song. I'll be down front. I'd love to share with you that hope that's found only in Christ. No politician, no public figure, only in Christ. This whole book of Daniel is about the fact that there is one God, and He is Lord, and He is sovereign over all things past, over all things present, over all things future. And so let's sing to Him now and thank Him for His control and for His reign. Lord God, we thank You for Your control. We thank You for the fact that if You weren't holding the earth just as it is, if it slipped slightly 2% toward the sun, we would burn. Slightly 2% away, we would freeze. God, we thank You that You are holding us, even allowing us to breathe in and out. And God, we are thankful that You are sovereign over history. You're sovereign over empires, that You raise kings up, You raise kingdoms up, and You also lower them as You please. So God, let us be reminded this week that our hope is only found in You and in You alone. And once we find that, God, let us remember that Your ultimate desire for our lives is not necessarily safety, but Your glory. So God, it may be a scary prayer, but God, we pray that You put us in situations that bring You glory, whatever that may be. And give us the strength to be faithful in each and every one of those certain situations. Lord, we give You the praise, the honor, and the glory.